Introducing WonderSuite from Bluehost.com, the tool that makes WordPress wonderful for everyone. Website creation is hard, but now with Bluehost, you can answer a few simple questions about your business and goals, and the WonderSuite tools will automatically lay out your WordPress website or store in minutes. Seriously. From there, you can customize your design, pick your brand colors, and add blocks. No custom theme or coding required. You'll get content suggestions that you can keep or revise. And with Yoast SEO built in, we automatically help you get found in search engines. From step-by-step guidance to suggested plugins to an AI-powered help bot, our built-in tools make WordPress wonderful for everyone. Whether you're a beginner or a pro, you can join over 2 million Bluehost users. Go to bluehost.com/wondersuite. That's bluehost.com/wondersuite.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage? Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
Welcome to our newest season of Humane Podcast in 2021. Humane is your first look at the startups and industry titans that are leading and disrupting ML and AI, data science, developer tools, and technical education. I am your host, David Jacobovich, and this is Humane. If you like this episode, remember to subscribe and leave a review. Now, on to our show. Welcome back, listeners, to the Humane Podcast. Today, we are talking about the future of intelligent applications, thinking about how enterprises are powering their intelligent applications and fast analytics. Today, I'm brought to you with the Chief Product Officer of SingleStore, Jordan Tagani. Jordan Tagani comes with a rich background in the data industry, and today we're going to dive fast into intelligent applications. Jordan, thanks so much for joining us on the show.
Thanks, David. Great to be here and to get to talk to you.
Absolutely. I know we talk a lot at SingleStore about the applications and analytics that are being built. But before we dive deeper into the product and the strong use cases, can you share with our audience about, you know, where you've been and what brought you today to join SingleStore for this next part of fast analytics and intelligent applications?
Sure. You know, I'm a product person now, but I'm really a software engineer at heart, you know, spent 20 years as an engineer and part of it as an engineering manager from kind of Windows kernel to Microsoft Research, worked at a couple of startups. Then I landed at Google and it was right as Google was building its cloud. And so I kind of stumbled onto this project called BigQuery. It was one of the founding engineers of Google BigQuery, building out their cloud data analytics, flagship. What became their flagship at the time was, you know, nobody was paying any attention to it. So I ended up working on BigQuery. I helped, you know, lead the engineering team and then the product team. And, having gone from sort of zero to, you know, where BigQuery is now, I can't share any revenue numbers, et cetera. But, you know, I think it's one of the largest cloud data warehouses out there by revenue, to put it that way. And to sort of see that trajectory now, you know, SingleStore, MemSQL was MemSQL at the time, was, you know, somewhere at a point along that trajectory. And it felt like it was on that same trajectory. It felt like, you know, MemSQL/SingleStore is where BigQuery was just a few years ago. And, you know, they have amazing technology. amazing engineering team. Like that seemed very, very familiar to me. They've got a, you know, burgeoning cloud product. They're going in the right direction and they're solving a problem like that we were having a hard time solving at Google. And the hard, and that problem was, how do you get analytics with very low latency? How do you get high update velocity for your analytic data store? And, you know, we had tried to do that at BigQuery. We saw, you know, competitors also struggling with the same thing. And really there was a different, you know, there's an architectural reason for that. But to me, it was just really exciting that, you know, hey, this is solving a problem that other people are trying to solve, but are struggling. And, you know, there are certainly things that single store doesn't do. But to me, those are just sort of, those are mostly just sort of engineering, you know, like they're turning the crank, adding the features, but the architecture, the foundation is there. And to me, that what was really exciting is just that the kind of the world is our oyster, I think, based on this sort of technological kernel of really amazing, really fast, really incredible kind of database fundamentals. And then on top of that, we can layer on a lot of other things. So to me, that was what was exciting. You know, also getting a chance to sort of wear both the product and engineering hats, because I help lead the product and engineering teams and design teams at Single Store. So I don't have to sort of give up the kind of the product half of my brain or the engineering half of the brain. I can sort of combine both at once.
I'm so excited about the product. For listeners of the show, many of you may know that in October 2020, I joined Single Store full time. And prior to that, I was involved in the data science and AI community, scaling different enablement efforts for large enterprises. And most of the efforts were with the new programming languages. These include the ones that everyone's learning today to be programmers, like Python and R, and a lot of those data science languages of choice. But I discovered working at those organizations that there was a gap. And the gap was that not everyone is just coding in Python and R. In fact, it's all about applications and analytics. And that goes back to SQL or SQL. And one of the most recent programs that I had spearheaded with our team at Galvanize in late 2019 and 2020 was a data analytics program. In fact, we had partnered with large organizations like Instagram, Etsy, and Chartable to speak and uncover from the organization, where's your skills gap? And the skills gap wasn't as much about the data scientists and the machine learning engineers, but the leaders there, the engineering managers said, we need team members who know SQL. We work with SQL every single day, with analytics, with databases. And it sounds like that is what we've discovered with Single Store, is where companies are able to put applications and analytics together. Can you speak more about this use case and about what we're doing with Fastboards to Dashboards?
Sure. I like what you said about SQL and the importance of SQL. And one of the Gartner analysts I was talking to just earlier this week had a great quote, and that was, it doesn't matter how old you are, but your grandchildren will be still using SQL. Now, I'm not sure everybody's grandchildren, you know, will be, you know, the kinds of people that would write in SQL. But I think just in terms of the longevity of the language and the usability of it, you know, SQL is here to stay. And Single Store is a great way to kind of enable those, you know, SQL applications. And so, you know, you were describing the kind of the key critical use case for Single Store is our kind of, we call it fast boards, which is, you know, fast dashboards. And one of the, you know, first things you want to do with analytics is you want to be able to display your data. Like, human beings are not very good at looking at columns of data and developing any patterns or recognizing any patterns. Like, if you've ever opened up a spreadsheet, you know, you look at it and like, you know, okay, maybe if there's half a dozen rows, you can sort of detect a trend, et cetera. But if there's, you know, 1,000 rows, it's a lot harder to detect trends, particularly subtle ones. And if there's 1,000,000 rows or 1,000,000,000 rows or 1,000,000,000,000 rows, then it's really impossible to get a feel for your data just by looking at the values. And so visualization is important. But as you're visualizing data, the performance of those visualizations is important. And just like, you know, kind of the early days of Google, and they realized that kind of every 10 milliseconds that it took for your query results to come back was additional time, like you lose some percentage of users at by making it just a tiny bit slower. And so, you know, when you're trying to get information from your data, when you're trying to visualize your data, performance matters, speed matters. And I think a lot of people kind of suffer through just, you know, poor performance of their dashboards. And it doesn't sound like a terrible problem until you realize that, you know, if you've got a dashboard that takes 3 minutes to load, you're only going to load it once a day. And half the time you load it, and this, when I was at Google, I would do a lot of this. There was a key revenue dashboard that took almost 5 minutes to load. And this is, you know, Google has, you know, generally has their act together and has really good tooling. And I just found that I would open it up and I would get tired of waiting and I would change tabs or I'd go get a cup of coffee and then I'd forget about it. And then like the next day I would open up the same tab again and wait 5 minutes and forget about it. And there's got to be a better way to visualize your data. And especially if what you want to see is not just a static report, but is, you know, you want to be able to dig into your data. Something in software is a kind of a key technique is they call it the five whys. You know, it's like something happened. There was an outage. Well, why? Okay. Well, we lost connectivity. Well, why? Because this server was overloaded. Why? And you kind of ask why five times. And that kind of often lets you drill down into what the actual kernel of what you're looking for is. And you can do the same thing with data is, our revenue is down. Why? Well, one of these regions wasn't performing. Why? You know, there was a warehouse that was destroyed. Why? Okay, there was a giant thunderstorm. It's like it's the same sorts of things in same sort of ways you can, you know, by drilling down in your data, you can really actually understand what's going on and what's going on in your business. And the performance really matters because if you're getting good performance, you're going to try a bunch of things. You're like, well, maybe I should slice it this way, or maybe I should drill into this, or maybe I can try this. And if you're getting, you know, if it takes a minute or if it takes 10 seconds or 5 seconds to kind of load your analytics or your visualizations, then you're not going to do as much exploration. And, you know, I think we, you know, single store, you know, performance matters. And, you know, we can do analytics. You know, a lot of our analytics queries that might take minutes elsewhere, you know, we can do in tens of milliseconds. We have a lot of customers, you know, that have hard SLAs of 50 milliseconds. One, a major bank has a 50 millisecond SLA for doing fraud detection. And if they can't meet that, then, you know, they can't actually detect fraud because it happens in the middle of a transaction. And so, you know, we have to make sure that our analytics can operate at least at that speed.
I think this is one of the most exciting facts that blew me away when I joined Single Store. Learning about the technology around ingest, query performance, and concurrency was incredible when you really thought about the use cases. Having worked at Deutsche Bank, where we built Click dashboards, and ADP, where we built Tableau work streams, and even building with Looker and Power BI at other clients and organizations, I experienced this pain point firsthand, where these events would take minutes to load. And when I was working with our data science and advanced analytics teams, the executives are saying, we got to move faster. We can't be slowed down by this. And that has a significant material impact on the business when you can't get results instantly. So this is a critical shift for the industry that we're seeing today.
Yeah, I think absolutely. And I think one of our customers is they don't like us to use their name, so I won't mention the name, but they're in the Fortune 5 and we power their CEO's dashboard. Their CEO dashboard, apparently he wakes up and, you know, at 4 a.m. and he checks the dashboard, and it's a global business. So you want to see what's going on right now, what's happening in my business. And so looking at a report from yesterday is not good enough. He wants to be able to sort of make changes and make, you know, policy decisions based on what's happening. And that, you know, that one dashboard, so it sounds like, okay, well, that dashboard isn't not such a big deal, but I think all the top execs use it. It does something like 800 queries per second, an average latency of sub 100 milliseconds. And that kind of scale lets them get the value and lets them become data-driven and make their decisions based on data and based on what's happening right now.
you know, thinking of other use cases, especially during the pandemic where all of us were locked down and working from home, I know one of the key consumable products that we use every single day is the bandwidth around internet and data. When you think of large organizations like AT&T, Time Warner, Verizon, Comcast, T-Mobile, and others, I mean, there is so much data throughput occurring and there can be issues. I remember firsthand with Verizon, actually in New York City, we had an outage during the pandemic. And I was like, what do I do? And, you know, the team has to recognize that. I know we work a lot in the telecom space as well. What are some of the use cases you've seen here at SingleStore?
I think there's some super interesting ones. Like one is, you know, one of the major telecom providers, I'm not sure if I can name them, but, you know, we serve as the kind of the back end for all their analytics for their 5G rollout. And we supported the rollout of their 5G systems. And first of all, there's a lot of data from all the cell towers, you know, signal strength, lots of data coming in at a very fast rate over time. You know, you don't want to, if there's any holes in your data, it can sort of be very detrimental. So we want to have, you know, you've got to have high availability. You need to have high, you know, ability to ingest data. And then also, they also need to know what's going on right now. Do they need to send a truck over to fix a tower or to improve their signal? There's a lot of, you know, a lot in their business is really riding on being able to make good decisions about what's going on with their infrastructure. I think at the root of it, it's an IoT problem. You know, you have this large set of distributed sensors that are all streaming data about their status, about their uptime. It's a big data system. I think there are, you know, there are billions of records in this database. You need to be able to see kind of what happens over time. You need to see the historical, but then you also need to be able to see it in real time. So we see a number of other kind of IoT use cases. We see, you know, we're very, very popular in the financial services. You know, financial services is one area where people see the value of time. Time is money. Financial services people actually really have internalized that and they really get that. You know, they recognize, you know, there's a lot of like, you know, high frequency trading applications where, you know, if they're a millisecond late, then they're going to lose money. And so we've helped, you know, some customers. I mentioned a 50 millisecond SLA. We have one customer with a 2 millisecond SLA. They need to get their results back in 2 milliseconds. And, you know, we can get 99.9% in only a single millisecond. I think financial services is one of the first areas where people get the value of real-time information. I think in the old days, people would see the stock values in the newspaper, and then they would make their investment decisions the next day. And then, you know, with the internet, they started to be able to get, you know, 15-minute delays. And even that was too slow. And then, you know, real time, and then, which is up to the second. And then, of course, you have the high frequency stuff, which is kind of even faster than that. But, you know, while financial services folks recognize that there's value in going from kind of daily information to up to the minute information, up to the second information, other people are just starting to recognize the value from doing like kind of real-time inventory, being able to understand exactly what's going on in your inventory right now. So retail folks are getting into it, sort of IoT, I've got a factory and I want to understand what's going on in my factory right now, or, you know, internet businesses, you know, we also power a lot of back-end systems for Uber, you know, real-time, you know, ad bidding, or which, you know, real-time segmentation of customers. You know, if you can't get real-time, you often think you don't need it. But once you start getting things, you know, real-time, it's like air. You realize that, how did I ever operate without it?
You know, it reminds me of this, you know, funny commercial that I'd always see during the Super Bowl about one of those insurance agents, and you just call them and they're instantly there at your need and your side. It's the same thing with these intelligent applications. You know, 5-minute SLAs turning into 20 or 2 milliseconds is completely life-changing, and it can be life-altering. When we think of geospatial data, you mentioned the use case of Uber, and beyond that, we even think of the pandemic. You know, prior to prior to the pandemic, I was working in Saudi Arabia, actually with Saudi Telecom, and was working with their team as they were exploring use cases with data all across their towers, and even thinking about the COVID-19 pandemic as that was just breaking out back in, you know, February 2020. I know at SingleStore, we've done some significant work with True Digital to help them with real-time tracking and prevention for COVID-19 as well. Could you speak more about that use case and why that one has been so successful in Asia Pacific?
Absolutely. So the True Digital use case is really interesting. You know, they were able to basically use streaming information about, you know, I think they used the used cell phone location information. They were using that to generate heat maps, and they could see where there were large COVID-19 infection rates. You could see where people were congregating, see where areas that should be avoided. Also, the amazing thing is it only took them 2 weeks to develop and roll out this solution, because SingleStore solved so many of the problems, from like the fast data ingestion to the ability to do the analytics.
Did you know that most vitamin D3 supplements come from sheep's wool? I'm Kat, founder of Ritual. We're making traceability the new standard for the supplement industry. When I was pregnant, I couldn't find a multivitamin I could trust, so I created my own. Ours is made traceable, third-party tested, and clean label project certified. Oh, and our vitamin D3? It comes from sustainably harvested lichen from England, not sheep. Trace for yourself with 25% off at ritual.com/podcast.
And so when we think of all the stories that you and I have just discussed, Jordan, it really comes down to three pain points: ingest, query performance, and concurrency. Now, these are very technical words. Can you break it down for our audience on why these are three pain points that we're solving for?
Sure. And I think it might be actually good to like just to step back a second and think about, you know, if you're building an application, why do you need analytics? And then what are the things you need out of that analytics? And so if you're building an application, it's incredibly common to need some sort of analytics, something that is going to let you say, like, what's going on in the world? What's going on outside of kind of the individual user or the individual data points you're looking at? And just to give some examples of that, if you think about any sort of leaderboard you're going to show, and a leaderboard is an analytic query, or if you're doing gamification or recommendations, you're real-time, you know, trying to recommend something to the user, like, well, that's analytics because you need to basically run a query. You need to understand what's going on across the other users. And a lot of kind of transactional databases are not good at doing that, they're not good at doing that at scale. And generally, data warehouses, which is usually the traditional location for analytics, are not good at doing that with low latency, and are not good at doing it with the absolute freshest data. You know, other reasons you might want analytics: if you're doing any kind of drill downs or search functionality, you know, faceted search, you know, if you're doing monitoring, or if you're doing embedded analytics is sort of the simple one. If you're showing a dashboard to your users, if you're the telco company and you want to show users kind of the history of their usage over time, that's really an analytic query. And so if your application requires analytics, like, what are the things that you need? So you need the data to be up to date. Like, because if somebody does something, you know, if I make a call, if I pick up the phone or something and I hang up the phone and I go and I look at that dashboard and that call doesn't show up, then I'm going to be upset, or I'm going to like think, okay, what's wrong? Did that call not get recorded? And so the kind of the ingestion speed and the event ingestion capacity is really important. The other thing that's important is query performance, because if your application, you're showing analytics in the critical path to your users, then your analytics queries have to be really fast, because the responsiveness of your application is limited by the performance of these queries. So query performance is also really fast. You know, every 100 milliseconds it takes is going to be some attention that you're going to lose from your users. So the faster you can make these queries, the better off you're going to be. And the last thing is concurrency. Now, if you're building an application, you want that application to scale to as many users as possible. You want to go viral. You want to have lots of people being able to sort of hammer your system. And what's more is, a lot of the time your users, you know, are not going to come kind of spread out evenly throughout the day or throughout the week. It's going to be, you know, 9 a.m. Monday morning, everybody opens up their browser and wants to see what's going on. there's spikes, and you need to be able to handle those spikes. You need to be able to handle really high concurrency. You needed to be able to scale out. And, you know, high concurrency isn't 100 queries per second. You know, it's 100,000 or it's 1 million queries per second. And so you kind of put these three needs of these applications, the, you know, fast ingestion, query performance, and concurrency. And these are things that, you know, traditionally are difficult for transactional systems to do well, like the query performance for analytics, the high concurrency for analytics. You know, that uses up a ton of the capacity, which is hard for a typical transactional system. On the other hand, a traditional analytics system has a hard time with the really fast ingestion, particularly for updates. You know, just from a technical perspective, analytical systems tend to be based on column stores. Column stores really require large batches of things to be updated. And so if you're updating things, it makes them very hard to update quickly. And then query performance, often these analytic systems are designed for throughput rather than latency. It's a design trade-off, but you know, the systems were designed that way. Like I worked on one that was designed that way, and I know that there's several other that were designed that way. And you know, for an application though, like it's a different design point, it's a different requirement. You need latency, and you're less worried about how many of these you can batch up and do at once. You really want to be able to get a result as fast as possible. And, you know, and finally concurrency, you know, data warehouses have a hard time with high concurrency. And yes, some of them, you know, you can scale out by spinning up additional nodes or additional clusters, but A, that's slow, and B, that's extremely expensive. And I think this is also where if you're fast enough, you don't need true concurrency, because let's say you want to do a 100,000 queries in a second. Each of those queries takes a second, you know, then you need a concurrency of 100,000. If each query takes a millisecond, well, you only need a concurrency of 100. So, you know, this is an area where a single store really, really can shine.
You know, when you think of real time, I think of large enterprises, startups, small, medium businesses, and even scale-ups who are not just thinking of the technology that we've discussed today, but, you know, typically companies say, if I'm going to go to the cloud, let me start with the hyperscalers. Let's go to the one-stop shops like AWS, Azure, or GCP. But then very quickly, organizations realize that there's a lot to manage. There's a total cost of ownership that's very high. So there are other solutions to speed up the cloud infrastructure. So the question I ask here, Jordan, is, you know, how can analytical database infrastructure like what Single Store is building help companies be more competitive?
So that's a great question. I think, you know, you were talking about the hyperscalers and going to the cloud service providers. And, you know, the cloud service providers often have, you know, a grab bag of different databases that you can use, a database for every possible application. But I think one of the things that people want is they want to deal with less stuff. You know, like whether you're an IT department, you want to support less databases, whether you're a finance person, you want to sign fewer checks, or whether you're a software engineer, you don't want to have to worry about moving data from one place to another. You know, moving data from one place to another is fraught with peril. And so one of the things about Single Store, and it's you know, the insight behind the name, it takes a lot of the different things that you would want to use your database for, a lot of the different use cases, whether it's transactions, whether it's analytics, whether it's, you know, geospatial, whether it's time series, and it puts them all in one package. And we can do a really good job of all these use cases. So, I mean, one way that we can make you more competitive is just, you know, you have less things to manage. So lower cost of ownership, lower cost of like having to train people in various tools. You know, we had one customer who, you know, said that, you know, we used to have six databases, now we have two, because they were able to get rid of several of their databases just by using Single Store. I think in the future, we'll be able to let them get down to one, you know, but that's, we're not trying to get rid of all other databases. We're not trying to say, oh, just use Single Store for everything. We're great at, you know, one of the things we call it is augmentation. It's like you have a database and it's not working for some of your use cases. Maybe you need lower latency. Maybe you need higher concurrency. Maybe you need faster update rates. Maybe you may need an inflexible billing model and something else, and you want something that lets you kind of scale out a little bit. You know, single store is great for that. You know, we call it our sort of augment path, where we can augment another database, we can augment data warehouse. We have a customer that was doing billing processing on Oracle, and like the Oracle was taking too long, so they were writing their updates into single store and then pushing those updates back to Oracle. That works. We have customers doing the same thing with Snowflake, where they're landing their data in single store and they're writing the historical data back to Snowflake. You know, over time, it may be that customers find that single store is, you know, they can use for more and more of their workloads. And if they do that, that's great. If they don't, that's also great. Great with us. You know, we're happy to work side by side with these other databases.
One of the common themes that we talk about in the Humane podcast all the time is humane, which literally means to be human or human augmented. And that's what I find is so great about the single store product, is you're augmenting the current cloud, the current analytics, the current technology that a company may be using. The thesis is, well, you don't have to replace what you're using. Let's augment, let's help you with different workloads, and then get to a place where your mission critical work can be something that our product not only supports, but helps you thrive and grow with your business. And I think that's what a lot of companies need, is something that can scale with them as their growth scales as well.
I like the idea of using AI to augment and sort of go beyond what you can do currently. That's sort of one of the things that we're looking at with our intelligent applications, is that I think the step one is you add analytics to your application. So like, if what you're currently doing now is you're using something like Mongo or a document store, where you're basically, you can store and you can get. And then if you add analytics to that, you can understand the context of the world. There's so much kind of richer information that you can include, so much more intelligence you can add to your application. But there's a step beyond that, which is really the AI, the machine learning future, where you're also including, you know, real-time models. I feel like there's kind of a step between, you know, you have data, you can use your data. Step two is analytics, and you can make decisions based on that data. But then there's really intelligence, which is a step beyond analytics, which is driving real insight from the data and automatic insight from the data. And I think virtually every application can use that in some way, but I don't think many people don't know how. And I'm hoping that, you know, at Single Store, with our feature roadmap, we're going to be able to help people kind of go beyond just like getting insights from their data, and to be sort of getting intelligence from the data. It's like, instead of understanding what's going on, it's what should I do? And that to me is super powerful.
And so with that, let's speak to the future of what we can do as we move beyond an analytics world as a database that can support AI and different use cases. Of course, we've seen throughout the pandemic the acceleration of digitalization. A lot of databases have had major updates, like Snowflake going public and Couchbase IPOing. What are you seeing as the next wave for the database industry over the next coming decade?
I think, first of all, the database industry is hot. I think for something like 20 years, there were no database IPOs, and now we're having a bunch all in a short area of time. And I think cloud is really fueling a lot of this transition, as is the people's recognition that as they have more data, in order to stay relevant, they need to get better at understanding their data. They need to be able to go from collecting their data. So I think the first step of the big data was, like, people said, well, there's all this data. And then so people started collecting their data. And now it's sort of like, okay, well, now what do we do with it? They want to be able to make decisions with it. And one of the problems about data is that it's inherently noisy. It's inherently, you know, people don't always understand what their data means. And so if you really want to make decisions, make good decisions based on your data, you need deep understanding, and you need, you know, better abilities to sort of clean data, alert when there's problems. So to me, I think one of the biggest areas that we're going to see is a set of kind of, I'll call it middleware tools that allow you to get to the point where you're making data-driven decisions by ensuring and asserting that your data is high quality. And while a lot of this can be, is domain specific, You know, I think as you, if we want to get to the point where, you know, you can be like, okay, well, this number is changed, and so this means we have to go do something different. You need to make sure that that number means what you think it did. And you sort of have to, there's a bunch of stuff you're going to need to do to work backwards from that, to go from what people currently have, you know, what currently is getting written to the database, to getting meaning from that. And so, you know, while I think we see a lot of database companies now going public, and I think it's the database is the infrastructure layer. It's the first level. And I think we're going to start seeing the value and the business value flowing up the chain as we fill in those gaps. I think people don't yet realize what the problems are with data-driven decision-making because they haven't gotten good at it enough to have hit those problems. And I see it all the time. I see just, you know, like, you know, internally at Single Store, we do postmortems every time there's a customer problem or an outage. You know, we ask the five whys, what went on. We have all sorts of telemetry. Even, you know, in this specialized place, like, it's easy to be like, to seize on like, oh, well, this thing spiked here. And so that must have been the problem. And, you know, network latency spiked. And then you kind of look at, you zoom back and then you realize, okay, well, no, actually, that's not an anomaly. That happens all the time. And it's just, it's really, really hard to make good decisions based on data and to point at things if you're just looking at data to say this is a problem or this is what's going on. And so to me, I think the next big milestone is going to be giving people tools to help understand their data. And I think a lot of it is going to be intelligence, you know, machine learning that's going to be required. They can let you know, hey, you know, this thing is usually between 1 and 3 and now is 7. And, you know, I think combined with humans are going to start getting good at helping people make data-driven decisions.
I think that makes a lot of sense, Jordan. I know that we've conducted in-house research. The Single Store research has also shown from IT professionals that over 35% plan to replace their current data solution in the next couple quarters, and that over 74% of IT professionals do run into issues with their current data warehouse, which means as we're thinking of data analytics, data science, and AI, we're entering the next wave of technology acceleration automation. How do you see this unification being brought together? Let's wrap it up and see how is Single Store leading the wave for technology?
So great questions. So there's a lot of people are looking or hitting blockers in their current technology, whether it's, you know, the one blocker might be that they want to move to cloud. One blocker could be that they want to scale. One blocker could be that they're not getting the TCO that they need. And so people are making change. There's lots of sort of money flying around. There's lots of growth. And, you know, I think that Single Store, because we're in a position where we can take the place of lots of special purpose databases, you know, in one location, we're in a great spot to pick up some of those, many of those use cases. We recently just had a round of funding in the fall, and one of our investors, they showed this chart about, you know, real-time analytics and just sort of the growth of real-time analytics. And this basically said, hey, you know, Single Store is right here at the right spot as this is growing. And so I think people are looking more towards real-time. They're looking more towards lower TCO, supporting fewer systems, and also things that are going to be forward-looking. Like nobody wants to, you know, if you're an IT manager and you're picking a new database, you want to pick the one that's going to win. The one that 5 years from now, everybody's going to look back and be like, yeah, wasn't that person like so ahead of the time by picking the right data infrastructure? Because now that's, you know, is enabled to do us all these great things. And I think that Single Store is going to be that database. It's going to fuel the infrastructure and hopefully is going to make a lot of people look good for choosing it.
I think it definitely will be, and with every part of the product roadmap continuing to expand, I'm of course excited for many of the new product enhancements that we'll be announcing in summer and fall 2021 and beyond. Jordan Tagani, Chief Product Officer of Single Store, bringing to you today about how to power enterprises with intelligent applications. Jordan, thanks so much for joining us on the show.
Thank you, David. It's been great to get a chance to talk.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the Humane Podcast. Did the episode measure up to your thoughts on ML and AI, data science, developer tools, and technical education? Share your thoughts with me at humanepodcast.com/contact. Remember to share this episode with a friend, subscribe and leave a review, and listen for more episodes of Humane.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.